ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 वर्स नंबर 5। ज्योतिषम आयनम साक्षात् यत्तज्ज्ञानम अतीन्द्रियम् प्रणीतं भवता येन पुमां वेदा परावरम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Purport. The word destiny is now defined. Unintelligent persons who do not understand the meaning of life are just like animals. Animals do not know the past, present and future of life, nor are they able to understand it. But a human being can understand this if he is sober. Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, dhiras tatra na muhyati. A sober person is not bewildered. The simple truth is that although life is eternal, in this material world one changes from one body to another. Foolish people, especially in this age, do not understand this simple truth. Krishna says, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra na muhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, a soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Krishna, the greatest authority, says that the body will change. And as soon as the body changes, one's whole program of work changes also. Today I am a human being, or a great personality, but with a little deviation from nature's law, I shall have to accept a different type of body. Today I am a human being, but tomorrow I may become a dog, and then whatever activities I have performed in this life will be a failure. This simple truth is now rarely understood, but one who is a dhira can understand this. Those in this material world for material enjoyment should know that because their present position will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. This is also stated by Rishabhdev. Na sadhu manye yatha atmano ayam ashan api kleshad asha deha. Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Although this body is temporary, as long as we have to live in this body, we must suffer. Whether one has a short life or a long life, one must suffer the threefold miseries of material life. Therefore, any gentleman, dhira, must be interested in Jyotisha, astrology. I repeat, therefore any gentleman, dhira, must be interested in Jyotish or astrology. Nanda Maharaj was trying to take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Garga Muni's presence. For Garga Muni was a great authority in this knowledge of astrology, by which one can see the unseen event of past, present and future. It is the duty of a father to understand the astrological position of his children and do what is needed for their happiness. Now, taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by the presence of Garga Muni, Nanda Maharaj suggested that Garga Muni prepare a horoscope for Nanda's two sons, Krishna and Balaram. So, continuing our discussion on this very, very special portion of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. The chapter is Lord Krishna shows the universal form. And just in the last chapter we discussed about the wonderful activities of Krishna, on how we Akil Trinavarta. And in this chapter, there's a discussion going on between Nanda Maharaj and the great Gargacharya. Exactly in the next 7 verses from now, a very, very special thing is going to happen. We all know the beautiful, glorious qualities of Krishna's holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Paro Chauda Bhuvana Maje. Bhakti Thakur says that other than the holy name, there is nothing else in this whole creation. And one more song, there is this line, the beginning line, Yugala Nama Shruti Sar Hai. That the holy name of the divine couple is Shruti Sar, is the sum and substance of all the Shrutis, all the knowledge that the world embedded. We have this technology called the embedded technology, right? Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu, we have this technology embedded, where huge data is embedded into small things. We have this, we used to have huge computers earlier, you know, first computer was a couple of floors big, but we have learned this art of embedding big things and making it small and still making it more powerful than when it was very big. So in a small chip, we can put in, terabytes of data, gigabytes, terabytes of data. So similarly, we have this embedded technology. So similarly, the original embedded technology is in the holy name, where all the Shrutis, all the power of the whole spiritual world. Krishna is all powerful. And all the power, all the great things that you see displayed by Krishna and his various incarnations, which are multitude in numbers. And can you imagine the power of Matsya Avatar, what he did, and power of Kurma and power of Varaha, all the powerful, what to talk of power of Ram and Narsingha, all the power. The power, the overall power that has ever been, is all embedded, all in the holy name. And in the next 7 verses, Garg Acharya, even though Krishna's holy name is always, it is eternal name, but in this incarnation of Krishna, which appeared 5,000 years ago, I mean, in this particular history, Garga Muni is going to reveal to the world the name, which is a very auspicious thing. I mean, we all are trying to get some taste in the holy name. And the person who really spoke this name to the world was Garga Acharya. So we are in a process or on a eve of a very auspicious thing that is going to happen in the Bhagavatam, where the world is going to be revealed the holy name. So the point I'm trying to drive is that how special is this personality, Garga Acharya. I mean, many times, you know, because we are dealing with Yashoda and Krishna and Balram and Vasudeva and Devaki, which are all high profile devotees, high profile personalities. Many times we don't really understand that there are so many other personalities who are powerful personalities, who are special personalities, who have done special service to Krishna. And here is one such personality, in the way I understand with my little intelligence, that Garga Acharya. You know, this story, we just speak about it, yeah, Garga name, Krishna, Balram, and then we go ahead with the further 10th canto of Bhagavatam. But can you imagine how special this personality, Garga Acharya, is? And understand that he is the son of Rishi Bharadwaj. And his mother's name is Sushila. Now, Rishi Bharadwaj played a vital role in Ram Leela. I mean, we'll hear the glories about Rishi Bharadwaj and all these rishis day after tomorrow. Bharadwaj played a very vital role. In fact, Ram was taking all the guidance from Rishi Bharadwaj. And his son was Garga Acharya. And Garga Acharya, he wrote a masterpiece, which is actually, even to this day, the authority on astrology, that book which he has written. It is called the Vridha Gargiya Jyotish. which is to this day considered to be the masterpiece, the very authority on the science of astrology. Most of the people who do their deep study of astrology, they do their detailed study of this particular book, Vridh Gargiya Jyotish, which was written by Garga Acharya. But Garga Acharya, by his own personal writing, showed a very important quality that he didn't just write this book on astronomy and astrology, in which he was very expert in, but he went on to write the Garga Samhita. And we, Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, quote, very, very often as written in the Garga Samhita. And what is Garga Samhita? Garga Samhita speaks about the wonderful glories of Lord Sri Krishna. So by his own personal writing, Garga Rishi or Garga Acharya is teaching the world that astrology is very, very is important. And as Prabhupada is elaborating also, in fact, one line, therefore a gentleman, this is interesting line of Prabhupada, a gentleman, Dhira, must be interested in Jyotish or astrology. And of course, hopefully we'll try to understand this statement in a present context. What it means, what is Prabhupada writing, what does he really want us to write? But in general, astrology is very, very popular in the world. You will find people who are claiming to be hardcore atheists. They have absolutely no concept of God. They absolutely don't believe in God. They have nothing to talk about God. But they will be ardent followers or ardent believers of astrology. There was a huge program recently. Not recently, a couple of, two years back. It was a big event. In one of the top corporates of the world, one of the top banks of the world, and all the top employees of that corporate, which happens to be the headquarters of that corporate, were present in that program, 800 to 900 people. And the speaker was speaking, and people were very happy with the subject matter of unity and diversity, something like that. And people were very happy, and they were really asking a lot of questions to the speaker. But one of the counters in that program was a person who was sitting, who was an astrologer. He was a devotee astrologer, but an astrologer. Because, the way the preaching was happening here was not very direct preaching. It was sort of indirect preaching. It was not directly a Hare Krishna program. So they had to have, there was a person sitting who knew some astrology. And, there was a huge line to meet the speaker, because the speaker was very, very interesting and very really appealed to people. But there was twice or thrice as much line with all these big, big corporate people, some of them big, big investment bankers, waiting in line to meet this astrologer, to show their hand and say, what does my hand say? Please, a long queue. So astrology is very, very interesting. People really find a lot of interest in astrology. But how the nature of this material world is, that any signs that we have in this world, as by the time factor, we are expert in degrading it and making it very low and mundane. Now, astrology is a very, very deep science. Very deep science. At least I don't know how deep it is, but it's a very deep science. Made astrology for right now. Right now, the way we see astrology is that you pick up the newspaper and there is predictions based on your sunshine. So I was hearing a lecture of one of our dynamic speakers, Prahlad Ananda Swami Maharaj. And he is one of the authorities of astrology in ISKCON. He's into yoga and he has done detailed study of astrology. An ardent disciple, a very powerful disciple of Prabhupada. And he's saying, what have we made astrology? That at the most, astrology right now is we have the newspapers and there are 12 signs and people read that every day. Many times, I've seen many people, the first thing they get in the newspaper, they don't read the headlines, they don't read the business lines, they first go to the predictions. what we have to say, and then Leo and Taurus. So that it is, is it that there are only 12 possible types of futures for people? In this week, the only possibility that exists is 12 different types of futures for you. That means all the Leos will be sad and all the Taurus will be happy. I mean, that's what it says. Like there's Leo and Taurus and Gemini and Capricorn, whatever things. So it's in general that all the Leos will have a lot of money and please be careful about accidents and you'll be very happy and you'll meet your girlfriend and so on and so forth. That's written there. And the Taurus will be... I said, that means he was saying that we have made the whole astrology to be so mundane that there are only different types of futures for the people. Is that what astrology is all about? And that is why this whole science has been so degraded that people don't really understand the value of the science, which is very important. And that's why Prabhupada writes the whole purport supporting this science. So we must understand that astrology is interesting to people, and if you analyze the psyche, why are people interested in astrology? They might not believe in God, but they believe in astrology. Why? Because the power to know something which God knows. What is one of the descriptions of God? One who knows past, present, and future. Is it not? That is God. God knows past, present, and future. And why are we so interested in astrology? Or not many of the people, not maybe all of them, many of them. Because they get a feeling of being small gods. Because through astrology, they can understand the past. They can understand what is going on in the present. And more important, what is going to be in the future. There are people... We are not saying something for or against them, but there are people who do not even, I mean, who make serious decisions of their life consulting astrology. Because that astrologer plays a very important role in their life of guiding his a chart and everything, his lines on the hand. And major decisions are made based on that. So when Prabhupada was asked, you know, when the devotees, the American and the European devotees, they became devotees, they realized that this is also a science, astrology. So then one devotee asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, do you know how to read hands? So Prabhupada said, yes. So he said, come here. So everybody was very, very keen, that, oh my God, Prabhupada is going to read the hand now. Something amazing will happen. And Prabhupada took the hand of the devotee, and there was this arti, diya, which was there. So he took his hand and put it over the diya like this. And they said, oh my God, Prabhupada is doing something mystical. And then he saw the hand. And he said, now you take your hand and clap. So he clapped a couple of times. Prabhupada said, clap more. And then he clapped. And then he said, see, all your lines have gone now. There's nothing. And all your lines are gone. By clapping Krishna, we have all heard this nectar of devotion statement, right? It's a nectar of devotion. Then when a devotee claps his hand in kirtan, all the sinful things are gone. All the karma is gone. But Prahladananda Swami was explaining as an expert who has understanding of this particular thing of clapping. He said, little do we know that when you are clapping, not only the bad karma goes away, but even the good karma also flies away. When you are clapping, it is not just the bad karma which goes away, but good karma which you accumulated. And if you attach to your good karma, believe it or not, even your good karma also goes away, because bhakti process is just gets you rid of all karma. Not only the bad karma, but all karma goes away. And if you are attached to your good karma, you want to enjoy your good karma, you should not clap too much in kirtan. And that's why he says that's why many times in ISKCON we have silent kirtan where we don't clap our hands too much. Because sometimes we are attached to our good karma, because they are also going to fly away. So Prabhupada gave a very, very clear understanding that this astrology is good, but beyond astrology is bhakti. Bhakti is most important, and we don't have to really give so much importance to astrology compared to bhakti. So the purpose of why this particular verse in Prabhupada is supporting this astrology, and the way you see Prabhupada writing the purport, he says that astrology is nothing but to understand our destiny. Prabhupada writes, the first verse, the word destiny is now defined. We should understand that anything that is happening in this world is not happening arbitrarily. It's not just happening because of no reason. There's always a reason, there's always a meaning, there's always a cause behind something happening in our life. And the cause is usually the karma. And what is astrology means that it just helps you to understand your previous karma and to understand what is in store for us in the future based on the karma that we have done. So to that extent, astrology is simply nothing but a wonderful assistance to your bhakti to become more responsible in your behavior and to understand your destiny. What is there in the destiny? Because we cannot just blame somebody for what is happening in our life. The usual tendency, if you see in our life, is that when something happens, something bad happens, we usually immediately blame the other person. That it's because of you this happened. You know, I don't much about the ashram, but in many of the households, when something wrong happens in the house, immediately the husband blames the wife. It's because of you. Or the wife blames the husband. It's because of you this happened. So we do not want to take the responsibility of our activities. We want to throw the whole blame on somebody else. But what is Prabhupada saying? That we are the instruments. What is that? Instruments of our karma? Our actions? Don't blame the instruments of your karma. So what we have done, we are going to get that. So nothing happens arbitrarily, and astrology is nothing but that science which helps us to understand why something is happening, and I mean why it is happening the way it is happening. So material world, we must understand that no matter how much ever you try, the material world is nothing but full of varieties of problems. And when we have a less problem, we are happy. And when we have more problems, we are unhappy. It is not that when there is no problem, we are happy, because there cannot be a situation in the material world where there are no problems. It's only a situation when there are less problems, when we see that there is not so much of a problem in my life, we are very happy. When there is less problem. And when there is overwhelming problems, so many problems coming one after another, then we are unhappy. So material world is nothing but a situation where there is always going to be problems. And Srila Prabhupada said that problems, if we do not become dhira, why Prabhupada is talking about the words dhiras tatra na muhyati, are bound to be there. By our actions, when problem comes and we don't behave in a responsible way, then we are degrading our consciousness, because every action, we have to take responsibility of that. Whatever actions we do, we are responsible for that. And because we are responsible, we get a reaction to that action. The reaction is negative, then we degrade our consciousness. And Prabhupada says very clearly that today I am a human being, today I'm a big devotee, but tomorrow by the slight change, what is the word he is using? Today I'm a human being or a great personality, but with a little deviation from nature's law. Try to understand, a little deviation from nature's law, that means when we don't follow nature's law, I shall have to accept a different type of body. Dog. We know this example, that a flight when it's taking off, it has to move in a fixed direction. Even there's a slight deviation in the flight, even for a degree or two, I mean, I don't know this whole science, the way how flights fly, but I heard this. Even there's a slight difference, instead of going to one place, it might go to some other place. Even there's a slight dot on target, it has to fly exactly the same degree. If there's even 5-6 degrees difference and it goes, it just goes to some other place, because as it moves forward, it is deviating more and more and more and more and more. Similarly, even if there's a slight deviation in the way we behave, deviation from material nature, Prabhupada says, from a human being, so you'll become a dog, it's a degraded life. In one of the university programs which he was giving in America, I said, you become a dog. Please be responsible in your behavior. Take advantage of a human form of life, otherwise you'll end up the most abominable life of a dog. And one person raised his hand. They said, Swamiji, if you are saying that, if you don't behave responsibly, you become a dog, I don't mind becoming a dog. America, things are different. I'm not in America. In general understanding of dogs nowadays is different. It's not only restricted to America. So Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. If you want to be a dog, you have my blessings. Because he didn't mind becoming a dog. But in general, people who are sane, Prabhupada is talking about sane people, sober people. He's talking about sober people, that when you deviate from the nature's law, then from a human body, you might become a dog body. And we have a powerful story to support this, in the form of the wonderful, inspiring story of Bharat Maharaj. It is not something that we all know, the beautiful story, that, just a slight deviation. Try to understand, it was a very slight deviation. The whole life was absolutely in congruence with the laws of nature, in congruence to the desire of God. But a slight deviation in the last portion of his life, just getting attached to a deer, the slight deviation went more and more and more and more and more. There was as he was going forward, the deviation was increasing, and it ended up into a deer's body. So please understand the importance of taking responsibility of our actions. And if we don't take responsibility of the actions, then there is going to be powerful reactions. So, Prabhupada writes also here, the nature of the material world. The nature of the material world is always suffering, as we discussed. There was one very, very close disciple of Srila Prabhupada, very, very intimately connected to Prabhupada, served Prabhupada for years. And then he decided to get married. After years of serving Prabhupada personally, he decided to get married. And he left this personal service of Prabhupada and he got married. There's no harm. Every brahmachari has a right to marry. But, he gave up the service of Prabhupada, very intimate service that he was doing. And he went, and after one and a half years, he came back to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I did a big mistake. He said, Prabhupada then gave a very graphic description of how the mind deviates. He said, you are hungry, you are very hungry, and you see a huge plate of feast in front of you. And because you are so hungry and you see the plate in front of you, you want to enjoy the plate, and you eat, and you eat so much that you have a serious problems. And then you think, I only hope this feast was not there. Then I would not be in the problem, because the problem before I started eating was much lesser than the problem after eating. And we all have experienced, at least I have experienced this. That when we are really hungry, we are suffering, no doubt. But when we overeat, your body is much more suffering than when you were without it. Prabhupada said, this is the material world. Constantly hankering for the feast, and after eating the feast, lamenting that I ate too much. Very beautiful understanding. He told this disciple that this is what the material world is all about. It gives us a very wonderful understanding of what is this world, hankering and lamenting. We are constantly hankering for pleasures. This material world is constantly offering us so many pleasures. Take this, take this, take this. But every pleasure is connected to the suffering. That's why this world is not nothing but constant hankering and lamenting. Hankering for what we don't have, and once we get it, we lament that I hope it was not there. The mobile phones, just day before yesterday, somebody in the people whom somebody whom I know very closely, not a devotee, closely doing, passionate salesperson, you know, doing huge numbers of sales in the IT industry. And you know, he was having you know, giddiness and headache for 1.5 years, and he did all the checkups, everything was fine. And then just few days back, I just met him two days back, and he's being diagnosed to have cancer of the brain, serious cancer of the brain. And you know, till now I only heard that the mobile phones causes cancer. And this person was very proudly telling that, you know, I spend 4 to 5 hours on the mobile every day. And that's how I get the business worth millions of dollars in every month. And many of us would tell him that, please, you know, take it easy, you're having... But this is what happens. Now, he was the same person. He was so much graphic for me. The same person said, I wish there was no mobile phone invented. And now we are feeling. And now he was saying this. And then we have all this... gadgets which are radiation free gadgets and everything, we need them. I'm not saying again, because we all are profusely using mobiles. I mean, we are just so, it's so much ingrained in our living now. I mean, I'm using it profusely myself, but we must understand it. This is what the material world is all about. Constantly hankering for something, some technology which I can connect to people very fast. Man was hankering for this technology, and here came the technology, and it was magic. I remember the way it came in the mobile phones. You are walking on the street, you can talk. So, great. It's not that you have to wait till you go to a landline. You know, we used to have these public phone booths where you put the coin, and if the coin gets stuck, and you bang the phone, talk, talk, talk. And then the coin comes out. And then again you connect, and so many problems. Now no problem, and connect. So it was hankering. But material world is what? Now people are saying, I only hope there was no invention like this. And so many things are like that. So Prabhupada is telling us that we have to understand the hankering and lamenting in the material world is going to constantly toss us around. It is like we are in a boat in an ocean. If you're in the boat in the ocean, you cannot expect to be in a calm boat. You cannot just feel that the boat will just sail very calmly. It will be going to be tossed and turned and twisted by the ocean, because as the wave comes, you know, sometimes the wave is very smooth, and then comes, you have seen Jagannath Puri waves. Sometimes it just comes, it just becomes very smooth, but then it comes and it hits you. So in the ocean turning. And one option is, if you want to get rid of the twists and turns of the ocean, is to jump out of the boat. Just jump out, and then there is no twist and turn. You are in the ocean only. But is that the solution to the problems? It's not that you jump out of the boat because the boat is really tossing and turning. The solution is to remain in the boat and continue what you are doing. And be sure you have to tolerate it. And that is what Prabhupada is saying. Being tolerant means to be dhira. Prabhupada, that was the connection to this verse. Why is Prabhupada talking about dhiras tatrana muyati? Because Prabhupada is telling us to be tolerant in our life. There will be twists and turns of destiny. How destiny turns. We have seen how destiny turned the life of Bharat Maharaj in a matter of few seconds. The whole destiny turned his life to something which was going on this direction. In seconds, the whole destiny turned. I was hearing of one of the leading speakers, and this was about King Nahusha, and I mean, was that Sharmish, the person who threw Yayati, King Yayati, and I'm sorry, Devyani and Yayati and Sharmish, the whole story, how in by destiny in one stroke the whole thing changed. Similarly, in all about the twist of destiny, when the wave will come and just knock us out, we never know. And this, we call it the twist and turns of destiny. And Prabhupada is talking about this. The word destiny is now defined. What does destiny mean? To understand that whatever I am suffering, what is there in my destiny, is all that which I have done in my previous life, I am simply suffering the reactions or enjoying the reactions of what I have done in the previous life. The solution to our behavior, and how do you, I mean, a solution to how to you to be, how you can be dhiras or tolerant, is we should be responsible in our actions. We should be having the social responsibility, the moral responsibility, the ethical responsibility, the philosophical responsibility, and the social responsibility. I was just discussing, in the DT room today, serving the DTs, and suddenly the Janardhan Pujari, Muralidhar Prabhu, called, and he said, the sacred thread of Janardhanji is missing, and it is very, very precious. For those who know why I'm saying it is precious, it is very precious. It was missing. And I was surprised about it. It's such a precious thing. And it is missing. The Pujari was called, and the Pujari was looking here and there, and you know, and they were searching. And then they found it in one of the packets. In some other, it's not supposed to be there, they found it in some other packet. They found it, don't worry. They found it. But then I was telling the Pujari that with the right to serve the deities, or with the mood of serving the deities, there has to be responsibility in our action. Everybody should be accounted for what he does. In the corporate world outside, such things that you are giving a charge over, the person in the previous service, there is a whole list that, yes, before I left, all these things were in place. Tick, 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 tick. And then he is responsible. He cannot just do something and just go. He is accounted for, is responsible for what he has done. And before he leaves, he has to certify, he has to guarantee that these things were there. And that is why many times in our devotional service, we tend to become negligent of our responsibilities that we have. We become careless. And the responsibility that we have, that whatever service that we are doing, we should be responsible for the service, not only for the deities, but everything that we do. So when you talk about service, when you talk about leadership, it is not simply a matter of control. First thing that comes in our mind as when you talk about leadership, it comes to a mind of a person who is fully in control, powerful person. But leadership is all about responsibility. The more responsibility you take on behalf of Guru and Krishna, the more progress you make. And that's what makes you a leader, that you take responsibility on behalf of Guru and Krishna. So what is it that entails a responsible behavior? In this day and age, a responsible behavior or a behavior of a leader is get your work done at any cost. You know, whatever you need to achieve, what you need to do, get it at any cost. You know, don't worry how you got it. That is covered. But what is shown to the world is, yes, I got it. Here it is. You know, I was discussing with some, maybe Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu can also support this. I was discussing with some software people. I said, how do you do this coding? You know, there's so much of, you know, coding means all this software programming, and you have a nice thing in front of your screen. I said, so all these people, they do coding and they bring it together and they patch it up, and somehow or the other, the whole thing works. It's just fit it in, and then, they said that the software people, is that it's not that they are sure that it will work. And that's how... it is not sure that they were. But somehow they do testing and then do all this coding and then it works. And they say it works. So that's how. So it's just a fantastic patchwork, you know, just to do something, you know, and somehow it makes it work. So it is not that a leader is that he somehow or the other has got the work done. No. A responsible leader means that we don't only see what work he has done, but we see how he has done it. That is the sign of a responsible person. But nowadays, responsibility means I got my numbers. You know, 1 year gone, these are my sales targets. This was my thing. I got my numbers. I don't care whether I really stamped on people's head. I really did all sorts of wrong handling. but I got my numbers. But responsible leadership, whether it is in the material world or in the spiritual world, responsible behavior means it should be sensitive, it should be consistent, and it should be accommodating to everybody. Three things. Of course, there can be many descriptions. The others' feelings. A responsible behavior doesn't mean that you get the work done, but how you are sensitive to the other people's feelings is a very, very important ingredient of responsible behavior. Because be sure, unlike the material world where they just see the numbers, Krishna sees the way you do it, and with every way you do things, you are creating a karma. And that's what we are talking about today. Your destiny is getting created by how you do things and not what you do things. You distribute 1,000 books and that number is 1,000 and great. But how you have done those 1,000 books? Have you really given the glory to the people who actually done it, or you simply hog the limelight? That, you know, I did it. I'm a counselor. You have not done a single book maybe. But your people who are slogged in on the street and you get the numbers. Sridhama Das's group. Where you hog the limelight. And one of the speakers was explaining, what does limelight mean? Limelight, lime by nature is not sweet, it is bitter. You cannot just, you can eat rasgullas as many as you want because it is sweet. But you can't just keep on sucking lime. It is, you may suck it as austerity because it may be good. It means you get the glory but you don't like it, it is sour for you. That's limelight. That's the understanding of being in the limelight. You're not enjoying being the glory. It is just so sour for you. That's the actual meaning of limelight. But for us, it is sweet light. You like the limelight. But as long as the leader is liking the limelight, he's not in the limelight. He's in the something else. So limelight means, so how sensitive to other people's feelings is very, very important. And how consistent. You might be very nice today, but tomorrow suddenly you are in your mood and you see way. That's not responsible behavior. It's sensitive, it is consistent, and it is accommodating. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, in one of his classes, I remember, he mentioned that responsible leadership behavior means he is accommodating. He accommodates people. And it's not my way or highway attitude. He is accommodating people. He just wants to take everybody together as much as possible. So what can be better example of responsible behavior, responsible leadership that we're talking about to create a wonderful destiny for ourselves than the fantastic example of Sri Ramchandra, whose appearance we're going to celebrate day after tomorrow. What an epitome of responsible behavior was that personality showing to us, that when one dhobi, I mean, you know, of course there are many people talking about Sita Mai coming back, but when he heard just one dhobi, you know, saying that, well, I'm not going to take you just like Ram has taken you, you know, because his wife had gone out and she came and said, I'm not going to accept you just the way Ram has accepted. And when he saw this, he was a responsible leader, and as part of a responsible behavior is to see that people subordinate to him, very sensitive to those people's happiness. And when he saw, of course, it's very difficult to understand. I still not able to understand how Ram just banished Sita. I mean, you know, because we have very tiny brains. At least I have a very tiny brain. I'm not able to understand. But yes, he did it. Just one statement of the dhobi, he said that I can't have this situation. If somebody is misunderstanding me, I have to act responsibly. And he banished Sita for rest of her life. So they hardly spent any time together. They spent few months together, and then Ram was banished in the forest. Of course, they were in the forest. But they hardly spent their time in Ayodhya as king and queen. Hardly few months. That was the life of Sri Ramchandra. A life of complete responsible behavior. So Srila Prabhupada is wonderfully explaining here that how we should be very dhir in everything that is happening in the material world. We should be very responsible, be very careful. Prabhupada uses the word that we should act very carefully. What is it? Those in this material world for material enjoyment should know that because their present position will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. And that even devotees, we are in the material world. And we are not purely spiritualized, so we are still in the material platform. So we must be very careful the way we act. lest we will repent. Careful means full of care. That means sensitive behavior. And sensitive behavior is has to be consistent in our behavior. The way we have seen so many wonderful leaders in, like Ramchandra and in the current scenario also. Very consistent in their behavior. Very caring. So we have to be very careful. And then of course in the last part of the purport, Prabhupada said that Garga Muni was such a powerful person, such a fantastic astrologer, and Ananda Maharaj wanted to take advantage of his presence. And this was the beginning. Like, you know, when you want to say something, you create a scene around it. So Ananda Maharaj was creating a scene for Garga Muni to name his child. And there's the first time he's saying that, well, you're a very expert astrologer. You know, you know astronomy. So please, in a few verses, he will say, please name my children, Krishna and Balaram. They've been waiting for names. Please name them. So this is a wonderful, wonderful part of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, where in the few verses we will hear the beautiful glories of Krishna, beautiful name of Krishna and Balaram. We say, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Right? The names of Krishna Balaram will be revealed to the world in this current scenario where Krishna and Balaram are born. Very soon in the next 7 verses, it's a time to really celebrate. The holy name of Krishna Balaram will be revealed from the lotus mouth of Garga Acharya. And he will explain in why he is calling Krishna, Krishna, and why he is calling Balaram, Balaram. And by the way, the whole pastime happened in a cow shed. This is another very special thing. That's such important. Then Krishna's holy name was revealed to the world in the company of cows. So this is a very, very wonderful scene that is getting created. And we are going to enjoy this wonderful scene in the upcoming verses. Thank you very, very much. It's already time. It's time, so I can't take questions, including questions 9:15. So I'm sorry, I can't take questions. Acha.
प्रभु जी, आपका जो आज लेक्चर था ना, वो दृष्टीय एस्ट्रोलॉजर पर था. आज की करंट सिचुएशन देख के वर्ल्ड की एक जेंटलमैन एस्ट्रोलॉजर के पास गया. उसने पूछा थर्ड वर्ल्ड वार कब होगा. थर्ड वर्ल्ड वार, वो बोला कि थर्ड वर्ल्ड वार का तो मुझे पता नहीं, लेकिन फोर्थ वर्ल्ड वार नहीं होगा. आपने फॉलो किया.
थैंक यू वेरी मच. प्रभुपाद की.